All right, 1 John 1. First, or not 1 John, but just John. John 1.
The creed.
Did you want to say the creed?
You want to say the creed? Yeah. Did you all have a creed?
Yes, we did.
Hallelujah. We'll have to say it in unison.
You say this in Catholic Church.
Yeah. No, you know, actually Protestants do it too.
Do they?
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's one of the things we never changed is the Trinity.
Good.
This is right out of the Emmaus.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Where's mine, Mom?
Oh, wow.
You're supposed to have it memorized.
Yeah, I do. But
I do too, sure.
I like to read it because there's different translations of it.
Well, he found it.
There's different translations. Oh, he got it up there, yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
All right. As I just said, this part of the Trinity never got changed from the Catholic Church. The words are right. They're just a summary. They're not the Bible. And they're like a commentary on the Bible, summarizing it. And when you got baptized in water, you ask the people that whether they believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and they can say these words. And they did that from the earliest church. This probably, we don't know when it started actually, but by the year 500 it was solid. It's something they agreed with. So, I'm going to say it and you say it with me. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Amen.
Now, as I just said, there are different translations of this, so we're going to say it from now on. But the main thing is it's roughly the same. It starts out with creation, then it's got redemption, and then it's got sanctification. So that's pretty much the summary. Those three things. Creation, redemption, sanctification. Settles it all. The Holy Spirit is the one that makes sure you're lined up with Jesus. Jesus is the one that saves you because you broke the law. And He needs to forgive all your sins. And He died on the cross to do it. And then the Creator created the world, and He's Almighty God, and He always will be Almighty God. Okay. I want you to turn to John chapter 1, Big John, the Gospel of John. I prayed about this this year. And though years ago I preached on John all the way through the year, but I've decided to repeat it because there's so much in John. And this is the one, if Billy Graham got you saved, he always gave you a book on John. He always made a copy of that available to everybody. Because John is written to the heart. Matthew was written to the Hebrews. Luke and Mark is written to the Romans. Luke is written to the Greek intellectual mind. But this one is written to your heart. So this one is not just his history. This one is like a heavenly view. And it's represented usually by the eagle. It's an eagle's eye view of God. You're looking at the guy. Matthew is often a lion, and Luke is often a man's face, and I'm sorry?
Matthew's a cow? Bull?
Yeah.
Oxen?
No, not Matthew. What did you say?
Matthew's an oxen?
No. Matthew is the lion. The lion of Judah.
Oh, Mark's an oxen.
Right, because Jesus is the Lion of Judah. And he's the lamb that came to sacrifice his sins, and then he becomes back on the second time as the Lion of Judah. Anyway, so this creed is just simply something you believe. I believe, I believe, I believe. That's about it. So it's powerful. All right. I'm going to read this to you, but I want to say a few words. First of all, the word for word is logos in the Greek. The word for word is logos. So, en arche en ho logos proston theon. In the beginning was the word, and the word was toward, or in the presence of, God. In the beginning. What beginning? There's two beginnings. The beginning of the gospel and also the beginning of time. So both beginnings. Both beginnings. Because Jesus was the creator and he also is the redeemer. And he also is the one that baptizes you with the Holy Spirit. And so he plays a huge role in everything God did. Jesus is the only one, though, that became flesh. The Holy Spirit never became flesh and never can, and the Father never became flesh. So, in the Godhead, Theototes, in the Godhead, that is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they all agreed in a unanimous way. In other words, the Father never said something that the Son and the Holy Spirit didn't agree with. And so they all agreed that Jesus should come down and suffer for the Father for our sins. And so he died so that you don't have to die. So he came down and he not only proclaimed the kingdom of God, but he effected it. The minute you die, because the New Testament is a testament, meaning it's testified by the blood. As soon as the person is dead, the will goes into effect, the will and testament. So the blood establishes that it's in effect right now. The second he died, the nanosecond he died, everybody's promise in that New Testament was theirs right then. So the second he died, the Christians were new creation. You don't have to wait for probate. That was probate. And the reason that I know that is because the second he died, someone tore the curtain in the Holy of Holies from top to bottom. And it was much higher than this ceiling. It was very, very high. And somebody tore it. It's a foot thick, so it's not a little thin veil. It's a curtain, and it's not like the curtains in the picture show which we used to go to. They used to, you know, open it up and close it. This one is thick, and so the only person that the high priest could figure out who could rip that thing from top to bottom would be God himself. So he knew. Probate was over. He knew, wow, now you can see right through the curtain to the Holy of Holies. The people in the outer court could look through the holy place and see the Holy of Holies. Because his death means your sins are gone.
Hallelujah.
Your sins are gone. And I said, probably in a way that I didn't intend, I said in Fort Worth the other day, your sins are on the cross. And they thought they meant they're on the cross. Literally. Well, they're not on the cross. It's just they, when he rose from the dead, he was pure because he'd always been pure. And sin couldn't hold him. So what I meant to say was he didn't have any sin. That's all. So you don't have any sin. That's the promise. That's the testament. That's what God wanted for you. So your sins have been forgiven. From that moment on. That's why they could say to the saints at Rome, to the saints at Ephesus, and so on. So this idea that the Logos is his heavenly name, but he became the Lamb, which was his earthly name. And John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." Behold the Lamb of God that takes away. He was the Passover lamb. A lamb. And not only that, he... And that's in the spring, by the way. And he was about 33 right then, about somewhere probably before it. I would say it was before it rather than after it. Because you had to be 12 years old to go to Jerusalem and partake. You'd have to be 12 years old. When he was 12, they brought him to the temple. So he had to be born just before that. And so he didn't come at Christmas time. Don't share that with anybody because they don't want to know that. They want to celebrate it winter time. But he didn't. He was actually born in July in the summer. And 9 months later, he was born at in April, somewhere in there, March, April. Could be as early as March, could be as late as April 15th. It could be exactly on the 15th, because when Caesar Augustus decided to have people come to your own city, they had to be there right about that time. So somewhere around that time. And Luke, if you read Luke, it'll tell you that when he was 30, he began his ministry. You couldn't be a rabbi, a teacher, a master, unless you were 30 years old. So we know that before all this happened, that God had arranged it in the day of darkness. What made the world dark in God's point of view?
Taxes.
Tax time. Tax time is April 15th right now, and whatever it was then, because it varied. It wasn't just on a certain day. But that was the time of the barley crop, and they sold their barley, because all winter long they didn't have anything growing. But now they needed something, and it was the time of the barley harvest. And so right after the barley harvest, people had money. And that's why he made it. Hey, let's tax people and find out how many we got. Let's take a census. And so they counted the people that way. So praise God. Praise God. So God is awesome. And he always... I'm going to move over just a little bit so these people can see me. So because of that, the Bible starts out in the beginning, en arche in the Greek. En arche en hologos, kai hologos, proston theon, and so on. It just keeps going. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus is the Word. and he is God. So he was not only proston theon, in the presence of God, in the beginning was the Word. He was, ein hologos. So his name in heaven would be hologos, the Word of God. How many know the Word of God can be the written word, but it can also be the spoken word, but it can also be the word that God spoke, and Jesus Christ is the living word. Does that make sense? So you live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Mouth to mouth, God can talk, and the reason he's talking is because he made you to not only look like him, but to act like him. Betzalemnu kedemutnu in the Hebrew, it means you were made in our image, three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to be, and you're also spirit, soul, and body, three. You're made in his image, just like him. So he thinks and he talks and he can communicate with his creation, and you're the only one he can communicate with. He doesn't communicate with trees. He doesn't communicate with clouds. He communicates with people. And so the world is made up of people on the earth. The world is smaller than the earth. The earth isn't inhabited everywhere. The earth is much bigger, huge, whereas the world is just this big. And so even though we think these cities are impressive, the point is you're not in the ocean. I mean, this is just trying to say the earth is much bigger than just the inhabited dwelling places of men. The problem with the world is that people don't like each other. That's the problem. As a matter of fact, people don't even like their mates. As a matter of fact, they don't even like themselves. So I think the problem is people.
Yes.
people just can't get along with themselves, so that's why the marriages don't work, and that's why the marriages don't work, because people don't like each other. So it's simple. But if you're a Christian, you're a new creation. You're not part of the old creation. You're a new creation who has hope, joy, peace, love, and so on. I have a perfect marriage, right? Because I love Peggy no matter what. I'll never leave her or forsake her. And before I was a Christian, I wanted to kill her from time to time, and so on and so forth, because she didn't agree with me. So you have to understand that marriage is not built on perfection. Marriage, God will marry, people get married all the time and then they can't stand each other. It isn't that they don't like their mate. They don't like the way they react to their mate when the mate is like the mate is. In other words, the reason that they divorce is not because of the other person, it's because they don't like being in the presence of that other person. You don't know if you know what I'm saying, but I'm just saying that's why there's lots of divorces. Because people can't stand each other after a while. Because there's two egos. Your ego and their ego. But as Christians, we just go by God's ego. Whatever he wants, that's what we do. Whatever he says, that's what he says. So we're like him. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
And so Christianity is not about you. It's not about you at all. Christianity is where God does everything and you do nothing. Well, it's easy to be yourself. A rotten self. Can't stand other people. I mean, other people bother us. Maybe other cultures, maybe they're ugly. It doesn't make any difference. People will come up with anything because they just can't get along. Why? Because they can't get along with themselves. You're a walking contradiction. You say one thing and do another. Is anybody aware of that? I planned to get up at 6, but now it's 8:30. You know, and you know, you have an ideal, but you don't live up to it. So people are not perfectible except by God. Now God is perfecting each one of you. I remember when Raul first came. He was a total mess. But now he's a saint. Did you know you're married to a saint? Well, he doesn't behave like a saint, but he is a saint. In God's eyes, everyone here is a saint. There's no such thing in the Bible as sinner belonging to you. You're not a sinner anymore. You believe in Jesus, and he counts that as righteous. So you're a saint. So he imputes that to you. He died so you don't have to die. So you can die physically, but you can't die spiritually. In other words, you're going to persist. Heaven and earth will pass away. My word will never pass away. So you're going to live forever and ever, world without end. World upon world upon world upon world. So that's amazing. So how many know we're going to have a good time as long? You know, in heaven, nobody sins. Nobody. In heaven, there's no dust. In heaven, you can see right through the water. Wow. You can see all the way through. So heaven is totally different than the world you're living in right now. And sin did that. If we hadn't sinned, the water would still be clear. But man seems to mess things up. So the world, and the Satan is the god of the world, but not the earth. He's not the god of the earth. The heaven and the earth was created by God, and you can't mess up something God creates. But if you do, there's consequences. So you're either a believer or an unbeliever. We'll get into this in the third chapter. But so, in the beginning, en arche en ho logos, in the beginning, the ho logos, the Christ. And by the way, the definite article, the Christ, means and there is no other. So he is the only word of God. Old Testament, New Testament. Even the Jewish people, without knowing it, they're also worshiping God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The first word in the Bible, actually it's the third word, Bereshit bara Elohim. The im on the end of Elohim is plural. So, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, Elohim. Now, Elohim means plural. So how many? Three. Couldn't be four, couldn't be two. Has to be exactly three. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I can easily prove that both in the New Testament and in the Old Testament. Because it says in the Old Testament, he is the Son of God. Everybody knew that. God has a Son. So Jesus is the Son of God. And it even refers to him saying, Son. So this only begotten son, Abraham had an only begotten son, but he actually had a servant, and then he actually had a son named Ishmael. All the problems in the world today are due to that spat between his oldest son, Ishmael, 13 years older, and then the second son, his only begotten son, because he's now the son of Sarah, whereas the first son is son of Hagar. She's Egyptian, and she believes something different than Abraham. She believes if you do good, you'll be treated well. And so that's opposite to the Jewish religion. The Jewish religion says God does everything and you do nothing. I like the religion that says, you do nothing, just be yourself, and let God do everything. I like that better, where God does for me rather than me do for God. I like it better where God doesn't put any weight on me, because I mess up every single day. And fortunately, being married, Peggy mentions it. You know, you just messed up right there. You didn't say thank you for what I just did. You know, she constantly is just on my case, giving me a D minus or, you know, a C or something. And so you can never please a woman. Has anyone discovered that? You can't please a woman. Whatever you do, she's not pleased. Or she's pleased for a few minutes, then she's angry because you didn't do it the next minute. So you just can't do it. So don't try. Just be yourself. But so you won't be difficult. I don't think so. So she'll be all right. And so when you're in love, it's kind of an illusion. Because you marry an illusion and then you divorce an illusion. They really don't divorce the people. They divorce the illusion they had in their head. I expected you to be like this and you aren't. So I'm going to get rid of you and get another one. I think that's funny. I don't know, you don't think that's funny. Marriage was designed not to work. It was designed not to work because of sin. So since all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, it is designed not to work. Dan, you know what I'm talking about. He's experienced that. And so, but in my case, even though everyone in my family, I mean literally everyone in my family, was divorced umpteen times over and over because I was a mafia kid. And but I determined, I don't know why, probably going to a church school or something, I don't know. But something I determined, I won't divorce. Once I get married, it's for life, to the death. And so it was by death. Because I remember when I married, within a couple of hours, I already realized Peg is not going to ever submit to me. I don't know why. I thought being married would make a difference. But prior to being married, she always wanted her own way. But once we're married, then she'd be under my rule, my command. But she didn't see it that way. And so a few hours later, I said, Peg, we have to go 5 hours to, you know, Vermont from where we are. And I don't want it to be dark, and it's already 2, so that'd be 7, but then it gets dark after that, so we better get going. Well, she didn't hear it. Then I said it to her a second time, Peg, you got to be ready. You got to get out of your dress and get ready. And so she didn't hear that either. So the third time I said, Peg, I'm commanding you, get ready right now. It's already 4 o'clock or whatever it was. And we're going to be there at 9 o'clock or something like that. And I had plans for tonight because this is the first time we're married. And so it didn't work out exactly the way I was. So I had to deal with that in my head. You married an illusion. You thought Peggy would be different once you got married. Once you closed the door, then, you know, and I'm not a Catholic, so I can't annul it. I was thinking about that. This thing, because we haven't been together. We were both virgin. You know, we hadn't been together. And so now, wow, how is this thing going to work out? I was planning on prayer. I think I'll skip that. Because this thing is no good. How can I be happy? I could live a split life, but that's not a marriage. So I don't know how to do it. I'm sure nobody feels sorry for me. Nevertheless, I had to deal with that. Once I dealt with it, say, well, I still love her, so forget my illusion. I'll just marry her. She'll never obey. And so she believed she did obey because she always outwardly did things, but I didn't want her outwardly to do things. I wanted her to love me as a person, a sinful person, because I was a sinner. How can I have a life with somebody who doesn't want to know me as I really am? No good. How many know that when you marry somebody, they're imperfect? They're not perfect. So you have to realize that. Anyway, God sent his son into the world to give us the way he and the Father related. Kind of give us an example. Be like me. I'm like, you know, the Son of Man on earth. I used to be the Lion of Judah up in the Logos thing. I used to be that. But now, when he comes back again the second time, he'll be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords of the whole world. The King of Kings, the Emperor. If you're king over kings, and who's the king he's over? You and me. Everybody here. You'll be, male or female, you'll be the wife of the Lamb. You'll be the, he will be your beloved now, but soon you'll be a saint. You'll look like, act like think like a saint, and nobody does today. Trump certainly doesn't. Right? And people criticize him, but he accepted the job, and he smiles all the time, so I can't imagine. He must be an idiot or something, because he smiles every time. Oh, they want to impeach you and kill you and shoot you and so on and so forth. Yeah, he doesn't seem disturbed at all. So he's an idiot. Yeah, I wouldn't want his job at all. I like my job. Have fewer people to kick you out or something. This is great. I love it. Y'all don't have the sense of humor that I have, but I've always had a sense of humor, and I'll keep that all the way till heaven. I don't know if God allows it or not. But I'll probably have a joke or two on the way as I'm standing in line waiting for my last judgment. Jim, did you pick up that gum on the way up here? What gum? This gum right here? Why'd you throw it down again? Somebody else might step on that. Now I'll probably go to hell right there. I'm always doing things that are weird. Is anyone else like me weird? I'm not consistent. I don't have a stable personality. It's all over the map. Now that I'm called a saint, I even can't live up to the saint call. It's like, I don't think I'm a saint. I think I'm a sinner saved by grace, but I don't think I'm a saint because I don't act saintly, and I can't remember where my glasses are, where my keys are, and I'm getting old, and I'm just about to kick the bucket. How many know that as far as that's concerned, you forgive me anyway? Could I see a show of hands?
Oh.
So I can keep going. All right. En arche en ho logos. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. Kai, that means and. Kai, and he also was with God. Ho logos pros ton theon. The ton means there is one God and only one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in heaven. They always agree. None of the pagan gods agree. There's not a god in the world that agrees with other gods. If they have many gods, Hermes does not get along with Aphrodite. Mars does not get along with Zeus, and so on and so forth. Any gods you name in any culture, they never get along because they're like people, because they were made up by people. Not one of them is a god. None. Not one of them. When the Word uses ye are gods, it's talking about people, kings. That's all it's talking about. It's not talking about, ministers or anything like that. You are gods, meaning you're submitted to me, the God, the mighty God, the almighty God. In Texas, our Constitution says almighty God. And so We believe that God can do anything he wants to do. He's absolute. But all of us are relative. Right? All of us are relative. He's absolute love. We are relative love, meaning we have conditions. I will love you as long as you totally behave. You remember you say that in the vows? I'll never leave you or forsake you, or, I'm going to be nice all the time. And people make promises, I do, and then they break them. Because after a while, it's hard living with people. Animals are okay. If you want to have a marriage that works, get a dog, a lot of people do. Or fish, goldfish never disobey, and so on. So animals are a lot more stable than people are. People change all the time. I thought you said, well, I didn't say that. Well, I think you said that. So you can get in arguments all the time with people. Even the Republican Party doesn't like the other Republicans. The Democratic Party, they all just are under the Pharaoh, so they all do what the boss says. But that's how they win. But that's cheating, because then the other people don't have a mind of their own. They all say the same thing on CNN or whatever the programs are. And they all say the same thing. He's an idiot. He's an idiot. They all say the same thing. Nobody has anything original to say. I mean, they'll defend him to the hilt, or her, or it. Can't tell today who's male and female. They're changing all the time. So we live in a surreal world. In other words, it's crazy. Right? Even America. America. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies. You know, but that idea was years ago. But now it's nothing works anymore. So thank God for Trump. He wants to make America great again. Woohoo! But he's mostly just making jobs and making sure the stock market likes him and so on and so forth. It's hard for him to build a wall. Now, but he's smiling, so, you know, let him do what he's going to do. But I'm just trying to tell you, Christianity has nothing to do with you doing. It has to do with everything God doing.
Amen.
It's His, capital H, His story. So there is no such thing as history. History is man's view of things, and historians are man's view of things. But in the Bible, it's just God's history of the world. What He did for you and me, died on the cross. Jesus died on the cross to save you. Yeshua in Hebrew is the same thing as Jesus. Yeshua means He shall save. Who? Sinners who repent. Sinners who repent. In other words, sinners that are troubled by their sins and they repent and say, I'm going to comfort myself because God made a promise and it said, comfort yourself. That's all repent means. It doesn't mean start doing good and stop doing bad. It doesn't mean that at all. It means the opposite of that. It means comfort yourself. Your warfare is over. Your sin has been paid for. Everything is taken care of. That's a prophecy.
Hallelujah.
That was 700 years before Jesus. You can see it in the book of Isaiah. But so Christianity is where you are loved just because God wrote His name on you when you were conceived in the womb. Just because you were conceived in the womb, not just being born. You were conceived in the womb, He already wrote His name on you, said, this one belongs to me. He wrote that on everybody's heart in the whole world. There's not a person born that personally God didn't use this finger on this hand, the index finger. And He wrote on you, this one belongs to me. So now there's no emperor, there's no pope, there's no pastor, there's no leader of any kind that can be between you and God. God, through Jesus, to you. The only one. So He's the in-between man. And the only one, and nobody else, can be the cornerstone of your faith. No one else can be the mediator between you and God. And so Jesus is on your side as well as on God's side. He's the in-between guy. So he's standing in between you and enemies and so on and so forth. And so you don't have to worry about it. As a matter of fact, love your enemies. Forgive your enemies. Pray for your enemies. Bless your enemies. Do good to your enemies. Never curse them. That's in the Bible. So we don't worry about, you know, don't fret because of evildoers. They're all over the place. How many know that? Even though America's great or trying to be, it doesn't really make any difference. People will war on us anyway. It doesn't matter what you do and how big your army is. There's always somebody that's got another satellite or some new technology that's coming along. They hack your deals and everything. It doesn't matter what you do. You're never going to be secure on the earth. How many knows that God wants you to be certain of the word, but insecure in this world?
Amen.
I mean, you can have a fortune and lose it. You can have a fortune and lose it. And that's possible in this world. Today you're up, tomorrow your stock is down. So that kind of uncertainty is what this world is all about. Today, the Amazon and all those those technology companies. They run the show today. Even they're above the government. They're richer than the government because they're billionaires and trillionaires and whatever. And they just keep going. So the government one day will try to do something and so on and so forth. But how many know it's not perfect like heaven is? Heaven is perfect. That's your home. And pretty soon you'll be going home. But God right now, what's he doing? What's he doing? The Logos is sitting next to him. He was son of man, now he's son of God. But he's always been truly son of man, truly son of God. In other words, he's the perfect person. He's on your side. And he made a promise to you, I will build my church. That's amazing. This is one of his churches. And he said, I'll build it. You're the building. You're not in a building. You are the building. He's building you into a saint. So he's forgiven all your sins, but then they're still there. But then he starts to remove all those sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And then he perfects you so that only love is left. No hope, no faith. Only love. The greatest of these is love. So how many know love is the greatest thing? And everybody here is a lover. Right? This is a description of you, not a prescription for you to follow. Description. Description is better than prescription or proscription. You haven't been prescribed, that is, forbidden to do something, and you haven't been told what to do. God will never do that. He's already describing you. You're a new man in Christ. You're a new woman in Christ. Period. It's over. He counts that as righteous. Wow. I can have a good time. Did you know God is only interested in one thing? Your happiness. Did you know that? Everybody in the world wants to be happy, but very seldom do you meet somebody who's happy all the time. I am. I'm happy all the time. Why? Because I pray for my enemies, and that makes me love them. I'm not hostile toward them. I don't care if they hate me. I don't care if they want to kill me. I don't care if they want to do me in. I don't really care. I'm not worried about it. I'm on Social Security. So there you have it. Now, because of that, I have nothing to worry about, Karen. And I don't worry about a thing. Are you on Social Security? No, you'll have to wait a while because you're not old enough for that. You have to work really hard now because in the world, you have to work like Hagar. Behave yourself and then there'll be a reward. Only that part doesn't really work out as well as it sounds. Because there is no security on earth. There's only one rock. Jesus Christ is the rock of your salvation. And that, if you have that, you have everything. Because with free, when you have Jesus Christ, he freely gives you everything. Amen. Wow. Whatever the Gentiles are seeking, you got all that. Don't even worry about it. Just seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. He'll give you everything else. Now, I'm living proof of that. I'm taken care of, but I shouldn't be. Because I didn't work that hard. I cheated and did all kinds of things in my younger life. Now, they've all been forgiven. But then I learned about cleansing. Oh, I thought you forgave me. Yes, I forgave you, but now I have to cleanse you. Will that hurt? Yeah, it'll just kill you. What? Wow. I don't like that idea. Well, if you lose your life, you'll find it. Oh, good. What does that mean? What does that mean? So as soon as you lose your life, in other words, you're not egocentric, as soon as you lose your life, you find it. That's what marriage is all about. The man is burdened down with all of the things people worry about, and the wife gets all the blessing. That's cool in theory, but you know, it's hard to produce that. Are you blessing your wife all the time, Raul? Every day. Good word, but purely meaningless. But anyway, it's good. It's a good word. So a man should be responsible to get all the burden, just like Jesus. And then the woman should get all the blessing, just like Jesus. The wife owed a debt, he paid the debt. The wife needed wisdom, he gave her wisdom every day, and so on and so forth. Favor and all that kind of stuff. Whatever the woman needs, I want Peggy not to worry about anything, not to think about anything. Let me bear all the burdens. Give me all your problems and all the trouble. I'll solve them. Well, I haven't done a very good job, but it's a good theory. It's a very good theory. As Christ loved the church, so every man love his wife same way. Same way. So I've taken that, and I believe in that, but I don't practice it all the time. And she notes that. She has a notebook, and I always get Z. You get Z. And so I love it. But one thing I don't do is I'm not mad. I'm not ever mad, because Jesus Christ is enough to make me happy all the time. That is amazing. No matter what you did, secretly or openly, doesn't matter. No matter what you did, has been forgiven. When Jesus got off that cross and he resurrected from the dead, all your sins are gone. They're gone. Even though you haven't cleansed and even though you haven't been perfected, he's busy at that right now. He's up in heaven doing all of that in heaven, cleansing his bride so that she'll be perfect and of age when you get married. Right? So, are you more than 18 right now? Yeah. So you see, you're already ready. Are you more than 18? Well, you're ready. So you can be married. And people marry earlier, but you know, it's good to wait at least until you're mature. So that way, marriage has a better chance because you've had a little experience of life to realize life stinks. Did you ever find that out? I mean, you have a business partner, he'll steal all the money. You know what? You have everything, everywhere, even government is corrupted, even his own staff is corrupted for the president. I don't care what you look at, it's got problems. In the world, you have trouble. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Are you of good cheer about everything that's going on? I am. I am. And I think your mother is. Do you think your mother, she's of good cheer all the time? I think so. That's a Christian. A Christian is always of good cheer. Right, Willis? Isn't that true? Your wife is always of good cheer. Well, that's a theory. It's a theory. I like God because he has a sense of humor, obviously. When he calls man the head, he's joking. He really means servant. He really means serve your wife. I was looking for head. And that didn't work. So I had to get rid of that idea. Now I'm happy all the time because I don't look. I don't look. Who is blind but my servant, the Bible says. So anyway, the word of God is got lots of gods. He could make a statement. That's a word. He could make a command. That's a word. He could make a negative command. Don't do that. That's a word. But he could make a promise, one-sided, not if you do, then I'll do. But he could make one that said, I don't care what you do. I'm making the promise. I will do this, and I will do that, and I will. Wow. That's a promise is one-sided, and he creates in me a claim for that right that he just gave me. In other words, if he promises that I'll be happy all the time, I have a right to complain to him. God, I don't think I'm getting the promise thing you promised. And God will correct himself right away and adjust himself. God's good. He said, I always do what's pleasing to the Father. And so I expect God to always do what's pleasing to his Father in heaven and to me on earth.
Amen.
Wow, that's glorious. That's why you've never seen me depressed. You've never seen me sad. Of course I'd be sad if the children, you know, had some tragedy and so on. Lots of other people have those things. But he spared me so far. I mean, it's like, hey, everything's still going my way and I don't deserve any of it. It's So I'm thanking him all the time. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Did you know that God likes thanks?
Amen.
God likes thanks. And why? Because you didn't do anything. It isn't that he did something for you. It's that he does everything for you, and that's why you thank him.
Amen.
I mean, what can you say? I'll give you a dollar, or I'll give you some gold, or, you know, what can you say? Nothing you do pleases God, because he's already pleased.
Amen.
Nothing you do pleases God, because he's already pleased. Did you hear what I just said? So I don't want a wife to please me. I don't want Peggy to please me. Just be yourself. Be yourself.
Amen.
Ugly, nice, I don't care how you are. Just be yourself. I love you just the way you are, and God said that to me, I'm saying that to you. There's nothing you can do to make me mad at you. Make me want to kill you, but I'm not doing it. I just decided not to kill her. So whatever your wife does, I want you to say, I love you, honey, and I forgive you for any sins you've ever done.
Oh, right now?
Yeah. Yeah, right now. Amen. It's good. I do that ahead of time because you might forget in the moment. And so we should say that to one another. I don't care what you do. I will never leave you or forsake you. You can sin anything you want to sin. That's how much I love you. Because God loved us that way. I like this John thing. It's all about happiness. Does God want you happy every minute of every second of every nanosecond? Does God want you happy all the time? Yeah. So if you live in Dallas, you're probably happier than the people who live in Fort Worth. Because this is a, you know, real city. Over in Fort Worth, that's just kind of cow town. People still wear boots over there. And, you know, they're just cowboys. But you know, the truth is, we're just as wealthy over there as you are here. You don't know that, but we are. It's just it's in fewer hands. I can name them. I know the people. I can name the billionaires and multi-billionaire people. But it doesn't matter. We have the same amount of wealth. So Texas is blessed beyond measure. Because we have six or seven and probably eight economies in Texas. Oil and gas being the one that people think about. But we have a lot. Coal. We have land. We have finances. We have everything here. And I don't know. Texas is really rich. And it used to be wasteland. This used to be just... what are those sticker bushes called? What are those?
Bull nettle.
It used to be just, you know, sand and bull nettle. And you ran into rattlesnakes and so on. Now then the people came. And we don't have the bull nettle so much. But if you live in the country, it's there. And they have the little bitty things that stick in you. I know because the minute I came here, I was walking through something and something hit hurt. And I reached down and said, what are all these things? That bush, bull nettle. Oh, I hate it. You couldn't get them out. I mean, they're just little bitty things. So, but now it's a promised land. I mean, this is rich. We're doing well. We have more in our rainy day account than all the other states combined. I want to say that again. We have more just in our little bank account. Texas is big. And so we got billions and billions and billions of dollars for any rainy day problems that come up. That's cool. That's cool. And now the rest of America wants to get at it. And they're moving here thousands every single day. They're moving here because they see we have jobs and we have economy and, you know, think it are doing well. But then Yankees move here too. And, you know, they're no good. They have their horrible policies and so on and so forth. They're liberal. And so we don't want too many Californians here. Unless they hate it over there. You know, we don't care. Don't give us your ideas. The way we do it in Texas, we know what a horseshoe is. Now, How many know that God wants you happy all the time, no matter what the economy is, no matter how your marriage is, no matter how your health is? I don't care what comes up. Thank God. Thank Him in all things. In everything. Give thanks unto God. Isn't that amazing?